الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه من سن بسنته من الدين. أما بعد، we finished with the names of Allah سبحانه وتعالى and a few more of them are left, but we will cover that inshallah in the Thursday lectures in Bud Lake. We now move back to where we left off in Ramadan about our tafsir, as we were doing throughout last year, and also Ramadan Surah Baqarah. We reached during Ramadan to verse number 187, and we stopped at verse 188 in Surah Baqarah, and we'll continue from there. Today we'll cover verses 188, 189. Next Friday we'll be covering the ayats about Qital, Jihad, or rules of engagement, the laws of the war and everything, verses 190 through 195. And the Friday following that we'll be covering the verses of Hajj. It's so coincident that Hajj is coming up. And 2 weeks from today, the verses of Hajj, which are from verse 196 in Surah Baqarah, 196 to 205. Those nine verses we'll be covering 2 weeks from today. And next Friday, it will be the verses of, like they say, rules of engagement. So this is just a rundown of how we're progressing, inshallah. Today we have verse 188, 189. These two verses come after the verses of Siyam, fasting. If you remember during Ramadan, we were talking about the rules of fasting and the obligations of fasting and the masail, the issues that come during fasting. This verse comes right after fasting, because in fasting, what are we doing? In fasting, we are staying away from food and drinks and everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the question comes up, where do we buy the food and drink from? From risk, from salary or business or whatever money we earn, we use that to purchase the food. And then in Ramadan for 30 days we are staying away from the food, and we prefer to eat halal food at time of iftar. Would ever somebody even consider of opening iftar with haram food? When I say haram food, I mean not pig or something like that, but haram food meaning earning through haram means, like going out robbing a bank, stealing a wallet from someone, and then using that money to purchase meat from a halal meat store, purchase fruits and vegetables, and then come and have iftar. That is totally haram food. The food itself is halal. You got it from zabiha meat from halal meat store, that's fine. You got the fruits and vegetables from the thing, it's halal, it's fine. But the money used to purchase that was haram. Hence, the food became haram. So imagine, the reason I'm saying this, because this ayah is talking about the issue of our finances, our risk. And the reason Allah put this ayah right after the ayats of fasting, to make us realize that, O Muslimin, O Mu'mineen, your fasting is useless if your means of breaking the fast is all indulged in haram. That is the whole connection between this ayah and the ayats of Siyam. What does Allah say in this ayah? Allah says in verse 188 in Surah Baqarah, وَلَا تَعْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتُدْلُوا بِهَا إِلَى الْحُكَّامِ لِتَعْكُلُوا فَرِيقًا مِنْ أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ بِالْإِثْمِ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Subhanallah, what a beautiful ayah. What is Allah warning us from? Allah is grabbing our attention, asking us to focus on the very means of our existence. Without money, we are nothing. True? If we have no money, there's nothing in the pocket, and in poverty, then a person can't even get food. I mean, like we see in Africa, in Darfur, in Ethiopia, in other places, in Palestine, in Kashmir, there's so many places, in Myanmar, in Philippines, there's so many places where Muslims are literally living a life of toughness, especially in the mountains, especially now after the earthquake. So they're going through tough times, and food is essence. No money in the pocket, no food. No food meaning no healthy life, weak bodies. So Allah's mother is saying the issue of akal, the word akal comes up, eating. What does Allah say? وَلَا تَعْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ. See, when we use the word akal, the brain goes to food and drink, or food, basically, any entity, commodity that you can use to digest. But here Allah SWT is using the issue of money, mal, amwal, in Arabic language, wealth. Allah is using that with akal. We don't eat money, we don't eat dollar bills, we don't eat 25 cents, quarters and nickels and dimes, we don't eat that. But what is Allah associating here? Allah is associating that your nickels and dimes and quarters and dollar bills, you don't eat it, but you use that to purchase a loaf of bread, a dozen eggs, milk, things like that, butter, your meat, and then you eat it. So in essence, you're really eating that dollar bill. It's only that you have transformed it into a staple material that you can digest. Because if you just put, like Elmo, you put dollar bills in your mouth, yes, in Elmo they show that he's eating dollar bills. But it is not realistic. That is how they fool children, right? And that's why I say, make sure what you watch. What is he eating? He's eating food. And that's why Allah SWT is saying, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ. Don't eat your mal, don't eat your wealth, your money. وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ. Why did Allah SWT use بَيْنَكُمْ? If you look at it, brothers and sisters, in this world, can you exist in isolation? Can you exist on your own? Never. If you are on your own, where are you going to work? Who's going to be the employer? There's no employer. In fact, even if you have a business up in the mountain in a remote area, who's going to buy from you? In other words, Allah SWT, this word is making us think in deep realm. Shaheer, consider. Seriously, consider. No talking, no running around while the lecture is in process. After that, no moving. So Allah SWT with this word is institutionalizing in our mind and our brain that look, insan can never exist on its own. Wahda, binafsi, wahda, isolation, never. Insan, human being, is a social animal. No, you sit over there. You can't come here. Thank you. Insan is a social animal in the sense of that it can never survive on its own. Like they say, the survival of the fittest. Even if you go to the jungle and woods, on your own you can't survive. You have to have something. Or then you can just live with an axe and cut wood and cut animals and just survive on that. But on your, you won't be able to survive long enough. You'll get so sick that you'll have to come out of the woods. So in this word, Allah SWT is saying that all your tijara, all your means of earning risk has to be associated with some other human beings around. You can't earn risk on your own. If you have a shop up on the mountains, nobody buys from you, you're going to be bankrupt. All that commodity one day is going to become useless, and the money that you invested, nobody's buying. In the same way, if you're up there alone on the mountain, you have no employer, who are you going to earn mal from? And that is why Allah SWT is saying that when it comes to tijara, when it comes to mal, there has to be somebody else, some other insan. And that is why Allah is saying, وَلَا تَعْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Now here comes the gist of the ayah. When it comes to dealing with each other, when it comes to tijara, trade, merchandising, when it comes to working, employ, everything, all the whole relationship is embedded in one ayah. That when it comes to this whole issue of risk, amongst people, between two parties, don't do it on batil, falsehood, or mischief. In other words, don't cheat, don't bribe, don't deceive, don't do disloyalty. All of these are negativities. And that is why Allah SWT is saying that if you earn risk through cheating someone, through lying to someone, through deceiving someone, through being disloyal to someone, through ripping off someone, yes, profit is halal. There's nothing wrong with that. But extensive profit, Rasulullah has forbidden in his hadith even. That whatever you think is ma'qul, something that is logically common sense, is appreciated, yes, 100% profit, 200% profit. What else? I mean, are you going to earn 1,000% profit? Something that costs you only $1 and you sell it for $1,000? $999 you're telling me is what, profit? No. But the laws of capitalism, since we live in this environment, teach you that. This is halal. Nothing wrong. What happened in Katrina? You saw an emblem, a symbolism of capitalism. Nothing happened. Nothing caused the price to go up of the fuel. The transportation was still the same. Everything was the same. It was just a gimmick. A way to cause people psychologically saying, yes, you can dish out money. What happened now? We're now back to down below what it was before. In other words, the capitalist said, the iron is hot. Loha garam, hatara mat. The iron is hot, hit the axe right now. Because people know there's a hurricane. People know psychologically, they see the video images. This new age phenomenon of the media power, that when you see images, you get psychologically brainwashed. Oh no, there's a disaster. So now if I pay $3, $4, no problem. They were charging $6 in Virginia the day it hit. If you think it cost him $6, it was justified? No, it's just profit. And when they went back to the books, to the state laws, none of the 50 states had any law that said that you can crack or stop the retailers from charging a certain amount. No. If he wanted to charge $10 a gallon, he could. You can't come by line. And then they woke up. Some of these council men, the local city council, they woke up and said, oh, our laws are flawed. We don't have any law to put a cap on this. Meaning this person can charge $10 and I can't do anything. Whereas it only cost him $1 to get the gas. In other words, $9 of profit is justified. But Islam is saying, وَلَا تَعْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Islam is saying, you have iman, you have taqwa, you have a heart, you have a logic, you have a brain. And your brain and your logic and your heart is telling you one day you're going to die. No matter if you fill up your treasury box, your tijori, your pockets, everything. But you're going to die. You're never going to take this mad with you in the grave. Point number one. Point number two, Islam is saying, even if you die and you leave this behind, on the day of judgment, Allah is going to ask you, what justification you have to charge 900% profit, 500% profit? Yes, I am Allah. I gave you the facility to have this shop, dukan, or tijara, or business. But in your business, what justification you have to charge that customer, that clientele? Yes, the customer clientele did not know what is your cost. Did not know how much you need. The customer was just shown, this is the price, asking price. They paid it. But remember, Allah is telling us in this ayah, you know yourselves better. Meaning who? The one who is the seller. The one who is the employer. The one who's the employee. Even to the employee, Allah's mother is saying, you know very well that you signed a contract that I will earn 100,000 a year. These are my duties, 9 to 5, whatever the case, 8 to 4, 73. During these hours, this is what I'll be working. Now you go to work in the morning, you take off for 2 hours, you go for lunch. The lunch is only mandated for half an hour, you take an hour and a half lunch. The boss is okay, he's cool with that, he's fine, no problem, you can take that. But on Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah is going to bring you into the court and say, you cheated your employer 1.5 hours on that day. Give me his hand. Even though you say, oh Allah, the employer is Kafir, not Muslim. No, Allah is saying, you are Muslim. You know there is Allah. You know that that same Allah gave you the risk, not that employer. Yes, you made a wa'ad, you made an ahad, you made a pact, you made an oath, a promise with that employer that for this amount of salary, this is what I'm going to give. But at the end of the year, instead of getting 400 or 500 hours, you only give 350. So you shortchange the employer 30 hours. Even if the employer is fine with that, he says, oh, I don't mind this, it doesn't matter. But Allah is not going to leave you off the hook. This is what Allah is saying. And that is why this ayah is very heavy. Meaning Allah is saying, you earn 100,000 a year, but how many of that, every single penny of the 100,000 in that year was really halal? Was only 90,000 halal and 10,000 haram? Was 95,000 halal and 5,000 haram? But remember, at iftar time, only 95% or 90% of your iftar was halal, 5% was haram. So what essence is your song? Fasting. That's why this ayah comes right after fasting. As soon as Allah finishes the ayat with fasting, the first ayat, as if like Allah hits us on the head saying, why do you eat food on your mouth when you have earned 5%, 2%, 1%, 10%, or 100% through haram? You wanted to get some business, some contract, you give to the contractor a bribe. Hey, let me have this bid. Let me have this petition. Because I can do it. This is not merit. Merit said that whoever is the lowest person will get the contract. But you know someone behind the door, you went, gave rishwa. You were selling a car, you knew the car was hit, the tire is clean, but you never told the buyer the car was hit. Until they go and find out a month later, oh, the car was hit. Or they were so foolish enough that they didn't even check Carfax and they bought the car. Later on, they see that the bumper comes off. Or the hood is falling apart. Then they go back and check Carfax. Oh, how did I miss it? In other words, Carfax, whoever invented it, thought about it. Even if they were not Muslim, but they were Muslim in heart. The niyyah intention was there. Meaning, explaining the facts. That's all Allah is saying. All Allah is saying here, that every single penny, not every dollar, forget the dollar, every single penny that you earn and then put in the mouth, make sure it is halal. Why? Because Allah is saying, remember the previous ayah before this was the issue of dua. Allah is saying, your dua will not be accepted. Remember that incident I told you before many times? That a person, a Bedouin Arabi, came into the Masjid of Rasulullah, he sat down, he prayed two rak'ah, then he sat down, he started making dua. And Rasulullah was sitting on the corner with Sahaba in a halaqah, and Rasulullah, you know, addressed the Sahaba saying, do you think this person dua be accepted? The Sahaba said, Allah wa Rasulullah A'lam, meaning Allah and the Prophet knows best. So Rasulullah said, how will Allah accept his dua? Wa ta'amu haram, wa sharabu haram, wa libasu haram. In other words, translation, Allah is saying, Rasulullah is saying, how will Allah accept this person's dua? This person's making dua, oh Allah, make my awlad salih, oh Allah, make my children pious. Allah is going to say, why should I accept your dua? Your ta'am is haram, your sharab is haram, and your clothing, libas is haram. That's what Rasulullah is saying. That is why earning rizq through halal means it's so humongous, so gorgeous, great. Why? Because on this pivot, fulcrum, raise everything, the whole sara dar madar aapki wujood ka, aapki existence ka, is ek cheez ke upar. In other words, your whole existence, your reality of life, your children, your family, your kids, your extended everything, your akhirah, everything that you can think of, your qadr, everything is based on this one institution called earning through halal means. Even if it means that you shortchange your employer 1 hour, 1 minute from job. Yes, if the employer allows you, yes, I allow you extended hours of off during lunch, no problem. If that was mandated in the contract, not that if the employer does later on. Or if the, not the employer in the sense that the supervisor, but the employer, the owner of the company says, yes, we sign a contract that you get a salary $100,000 for this amount of hours, but you were short this month so many hours, I don't mind. As an owner, I forgive you. Then Allah will say on Yawm al-Qiyamah, okay, you're forgiven. But if the owner did not know, only the supervisor, manager knew, and he said, oh, it's okay, Mr. Ahmed, you can go ahead, no problem. Allah will not leave you. Allah will say, you as a Muslim had a duty, obligation, to call up the employer, the owner of the company, say, listen, you are giving my salary. I just want to let you know that this month, X amount of hours, I was short. Are you happy with that, or you want to deduct my salary? If the employer says, I'm happy, it's fine. If he says, no, I have to deduct that amount, you have to give it back. And if you don't give it back, that $100, $500, $1,000, whatever you took, it was haram, whether you bought from that $500 X amount of meat, X amount of tomatoes, potatoes, fruits, it is, you ate it, it's haram. And you'll see that you will have no barakah in sa'ah. The money issue here in this era is so crucial that your life depends on it. You know, a lot of times people say, oh, look in that house. In that household, the father, the mother, meaning the husband, wife, the children are always sick. In jab dekho ki ghar mein bimari hai, bimardari lagi, jab dekho ki andar kuch na kuch problem chal. Meaning a lot of times you see in communities, in neighborhoods, that there is such a family where there is, they're always plagued with sickness, always running to the hospital. And you say, you did that, for what's wrong? Why is Allah testing them so much? Maybe they're not paying attention to their means of earning risk. Maybe the household member, the father or the mother, have a job where they're earning haram. And they're not really realizing, they're not putting importance to it. Yeah, a lot of times people are very casual, lackadaisical about this issue. Oh, no problem, 1 or 2 hours, no problem. Or a few dollars I cheated or lied to that person selling that product in my shop, in my business, no problem. People do it casually. But Allah is saying, I'm going to make hisab every single penny. What did Rasulullah say about money? He said, Yawm al-Qiyamah, this is from the hadith of about Qiyamah. Rasulullah is telling us about the Qiyamah, the day of judgment, day of hisab. لَتَذُولَ قَدَمَ عَبْدٍ حَتَّى يُسْعَلَ الْأَرْضَ Rasulullah is saying that the slave's foot will not move one step forward on the day of judgment until unless they are asked at least 4 questions. عَنْ أُمُرِهِ فِيمَا أَفْنَى On his life, on his umr, age. Allah gave them 40, 50, 60 years of life, 20 years of life. Allah is going to ask them, where did you spend this life? وَعَنْ عِلْمِهِ مَاذَ عَمِلَ بِهِ And on his or her knowledge. When Allah says here, when Rasulullah is saying here, he means both the gender. Meaning, husband, I mean male or female, where did they earn the knowledge from? Was it sound, secure knowledge, or was it wrong knowledge, false knowledge, and then they acted upon it? Meaning, did they earn knowledge from authentic, good sources, and then act upon it? And number three, عَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اكْتَسَبَ وَفِيمَا أَنْفَقُ Third thing, the question will be asked, on their mal. First, Allah is going to ask on your age, your life, umr. Second, on your knowledge. You do acquire knowledge, whether it's PhD, master's, bachelor's of engineering, accounting, business, or whatever the knowledge is, you acquired it. What did you do with it? And then the third thing Allah is going to ask us also is our wealth, money. Money is included. And he's going to ask, what? Min ayna iktasaba? Where did you earn this money, Mr. Muslim, Miss Muslimah? Where did you earn this money from? Oh, I earned this, Allah, through this way, this way, this. I mean, you don't even have to say, Allah has a whole book. He has a video camera, a video file. You just click on the button and it starts playing. In fact, it has so much details, intricate details, that it will tell you on such and such day, you sneak out of the office and the boss even didn't know, the supervisor didn't know, you came back and you found that everything was fine. It happens. This is happening. I'm not talking about that we're criticizing ourselves that we do that, but I've seen in many places people take these little things so lightly and then they joke around with it. At Eid or some other dinner, they're sitting in the living room and say, oh, you know what? My job is the best job. I just go have to show up my face and that's enough. I get my salary. They don't even check how many hours I filled in the timesheet. They don't even see if I punched in the car or not. People joking about this. And I was saying, وَلَا تَعْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. And what the Bible says, وَتُدْلُوا بِهَا إِلَى الْحُكَّامِ لِتَعْكُلُوا فَرِيقًا مِنْ أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ بِالْإِثْمِ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. What is very chilling is, Allah says at the end of the ayah, أَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ, meaning you know very well, you've done wrong. That's why you're joking about it in the living room of a house. Hey, look, your job is very strict. Your boss, your manager, supervisor is very strict. He catches you every single hour. Look at my job. Come to my company. It's very easy. You just fill up the timesheet, they pay your paycheck. And this person who's speaking this does not realize in Yawm al-Qiyamah, he will not be able to take one step forward until he tells Allah and justifies every single penny he made. And then Allah is going to ask him, okay, you made through this way, so much is haram money, so much is halal money. Now, second part of the question, فِيمَا أَنْفَقَ, what did you spend this in? Fine, how you earned, I got to know that. Now tell me, as my slave, Allah is going to ask, where did you spend it? Did you spend it in right places, in right time, or did you spend it in anything? Those people who spend in haram places, in Friday night, Saturday night, you know how men go to different places. And now they have nice way of saying it. Instead of saying any other way, they say it's a gentleman's club. You know, when financial becomes aam, when it becomes abundant and public, this is one of the signs of the Day of Judgment. Rasulullah said that towards the Qiyamah, as it comes closer, you see that fahisha, fuhsh, will become so mu'tabar. People say, oh, I'm going to a gentleman's club. And when people come first to this country, they say, maybe it's a very nice club, it's a gentleman's club. But they don't know what's going on in general club. Oh, fahisha and fujur and fusuq. Every money you spend at the gate at that fahisha club, and the money you spend inside, Allah is going to ask you, these dollar bills, $100 bills that you earn, and now you spend it over there, you prepare to go to hellfire? That's what Allah SWT is saying, through the Rasulullah. Mean أَيْنَ اَكْتَسَبَ وَفِيمَ أَنْفَقَ. And the fourth thing that Allah is going to ask on the Day of Judgment is, وَعَنْ جَسَدِهِ مَاذَا عَمِلَ بِهِ, on your body. SubhanAllah, these four questions, if you just worry about these four questions, Yawm al-Qiyamah, our sleep, neend ho jayegi insaan. Our sleep will just go away. We can't sleep. Can you imagine? Look at the four questions. First question on your life, the age, the umr you had, what did you do with it? So every single day that you spent on your 40, 50, 60 years of life, you have to give hisab to Allah. Oh Allah, on Sunday I did this, on Monday I did this. Allah is going to say, so many things from Sunday is acceptable in Islam, the others are rejected. Thrown away. So many things from Thursdays except the rest is rejected. Second question, Allah will ask, you had knowledge. I gave you the knowledge. I was al-Aleem, al-Hakim. I bestowed upon you knowledge. What did you do with it? Did you use it or just waste it? That is why I tell the sisters, many of our sisters who earn knowledge and then they don't do anything with it, waste it. Many, they just become housewives. Yes, I'm not saying it's wrong, but they should at least use that knowledge. Even if they're just housewives, they should use that knowledge. They have a master's, a PhD in something, and next thing you see, they're just, you know, raising babies and kids and at home. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. Yes, that's a good thing. But the knowledge that they earn, they should still be utilizing, even if they don't have to go outside. They can just sit at home. Now you have the technological era, IT era. You have a laptop, a DSL at home, and that's it. You can be working from home, taking care of kids at the same time, but using the knowledge. Because Allah is going to ask us on the Day of Judgment, you became a dentist, sister. You became a doctor, sister. You became a PhD doctor. What did you do with this knowledge? You became an accountant, sister. You had an MBA, sister. What did you do with it? You just earned a degree for the sake of degree, and then just sit at home? Allah is going to ask you, what did you do with it? So do you have, that does not mean, don't take me wrong, I'm not saying that all the women tomorrow start finding a job and then just move out. No. What I'm saying is, utilization of knowledge is essential. And there are so many ways, there's a plethora of ways to utilize knowledge. You could even be teaching someone right from the home. You have another sister who's just a housewife and she's hardly, barely just graduated high school. You teach her from house.
Tell her, come over to my house, spend the 2 hours a day with me, and I'll teach you some of the things that I learned. Meaning utilization of knowledge should be there. And the third thing that Allah SWT is going to ask on man, every single penny earned, every single penny spent. And the fourth thing on the body, jasad. That I gave you this body, I gave you so many days of health, so many days you were sick, fine, that is taken out, no problem, no question about that. But so many healthy days you had, insane, what did you do with that? Did you use that in tahajjud, in qiyam al-layl, or did you just waste that in watching the TV, the VCR, movie after movie, back-to-back movies? Sometimes people spend all 8 hours in the night, back-to-back movies. And you have a healthy body. And at that night time, Allah has come from the arsh to the first heaven and asking, is there anyone who wants forgiveness? And here is this Muslim brother, sister, changing the channels, fast-forwarding the movie, oh, there's a dance scene here, I can't see that. But they're watching it. SubhanAllah, this is reality. Don't take it wrong, I'm not criticizing ourselves, but I'm saying, we need to wake up. The person who's watching 6 movies in one night, they need to be thinking, isn't Allah watching me? Isn't Allah going to ask me that I had this healthy body that night, or those 30 nights, and not one of the nights I made wudu and get up and pray 2 rak'ah, or 4 rak'ah, or 6 or 8, up to 8 rak'ah qiyam al-layl. Yarhamukum. So this ayah is so pivotal, so crucial, that it shakes you up. Allah is saying, your whole wujud is based on this. What? وَلَا تَعْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Don't eat money, not money meaning don't use them, earn money from haram means you buy the food and then don't eat that food from the haram money between yourselves, بِالْبَاطِلِ. That you give, you cheat someone, you give rishwa here, you bribe to get something, you miss some hours here, whatever, whether you are employer, whether you are employee, whether you are businessman, in any profession that you are, there is always ways to cheat. That is what Allah is addressing here. But remember, next time when you cheat someone, remember that that time, that hour, that money that you earned in cheating is going to go in your belly, in your stomach. What are you going to do with that? That's what Allah SWT says in the Quran, also in another place, that about yatim, the orphans. If you are given responsibility to take care of yatim and the person who passed away left some money for his children, and you inherit that money to take care of the children, but you use that money for your privileges, going on vacation to Hawaii, Bermuda, and that money is not your money, you never earned it. It's money that was left for that 5-year-old, 6-year-old kid. But you are saying, for that kid, I just spent $400, $300, $100 in a week. Rest of the money is a lot of money, a lot of estate left. Let me use that. Let me go on vacation. And then how people justify? Hey, it's justified. Because why? I'm taking care of this child. No. It's not justified until the child or whoever is the child's responsible guardian. Meaning if the wife is there or the uncle, aunt is there and they authorize, then it is halal. That's what Allah SWT says. That those people who eat the mal of yatim, إِنَّمَا يَعْكُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. Those people who eat the money of yatim, they're eating money, not money, but fire in their bellies. And there are so many ways to make money, right? You can cheat people, you can gimmick people, scam after scam. What do they call that person? Con artist? Con, yeah, con man. There are so many con men in this dunya. And they're Muslim con men, subhanAllah. Allah is saying, don't eat money through conning someone. Because you have to give hasab to Allah. Yes, you made up a scam, you made gimmick. The people trusted you, believed in you. They said, oh, mashallah, this is Muslim, praying in the masjid. He's living in the masjid, meaning living in the sense of 5 times a day and everything. And yet, he makes, so people trust money, they give the money, and then he just packs his bag and he's out of there. Next thing you know, people, hard-earned, sweat, blood, laborious money is gone, wasted. And don't think that that person who's gone with the money, cheating people, and ran away, will not have to give herself. In this dunya, that money will run away so fast from that person, that he will not know, my God, I earned 5 million, where did it go? It was finished in 5 days, 5 million in 5 days. Because Allah is the one who allowed, permitted, didn't facilitate, but allowed, permitted that person to earn that 5 million through cheating, and Allah is almost going to snatch away that 5 million from that person too. That is what Allah SWT is saying. And there's meaning, before we start a business, brother and sister, for those who are business minded, this is what Allah is saying in this ayah. For the employee and employer, that's a different separate issue. Like I already explained about the hours and the salary and things like that. But for the businessman and businesswoman, Allah is saying, before you start up the business, make your intention clear. You should make the dua, Allahumma akhlis niyyati. Oh Allah, purify my niyyah. Make my niyyah sincerely for Allah. And then when you're building your business plan, how am I going to make money? Make sure that there is nothing in it as deception, as scam, as cheating, as bribe, as thinking of how to make people fool. Like sometimes people say, oh, we can make money just by fooling people. Fooling. They have done that. They say, oh, this product will do so many things, good things, hey, try, you buy it. Oh, it's going to take away your nausea, your sinus, everything, it has herbs, everything. You go buy your bottle for $5, $10, fine, they make the profit. You bring home, you eat, you keep eating the pills, thinking that your sinus will go, it doesn't go. Why? Because there is just bogus, scam, con. And whoever made that business has a business running, they're making money. I mean, this country goes after scam artists and con men so much. They go so much in people, who, especially in the holiday season, there are so many con people conning around. SubhanAllah, in this country, they have some Islam in the sense that they go after these people. And in our country, the one in the government who's responsible, the muhtasib, they call the muhtasib. He go up to him and say, this person cheated this neighborhood, this village, and took so much money and they ran away. The muhtasib is going to say, oh, no, they are the best people. You don't know. You guys don't. And you go tell him, he says, okay, give me so much bribe, then I will initiate the file. Forget catching. I just open the file. And once the file is open, give me so much more bribe and money, and then I'll make, by that time, the guy is gone. Where are we? We Muslims, in our Muslim country, we are so pathetic that we don't listen to this ayah. What is Allah saying? Because in the second part of the ayah, Allah is talking about those people who are in the government. Because they will be doubles. For us, the public, we'll be asked once, but they will be asked doubled. Allah is going to say, not only did you earn money haram means, but you also facilitated haram. You knew somebody was cheating someone. You knew somebody was doing haram, and you did not catch them. So for them is double trouble. What is Allah saying? وَلَا تَعْكُلُ أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتُدْلُو. تُدْلُو means literally to pesh karna, to present. So what happens? And literally, this word literally means buy. If you see that the work is not being done through the front door, through the right way, you go behind the door. Here, some sweets for your kids. Here, a nice vacation trip for you all. Kickbacks, rebates. They have those in the capitalist country. Well, now they stop, especially the doctors, physicians. Pharmaceutical reps, pharmaceutical companies here, you got 4 free tickets for Hawaii. Oh, I don't want to go to Hawaii. No, go. But remember, every time you prescribe, just why else? And then why else? Got to pay $84 million, and then Wyatt's got to do shutdown, 7,000 people laid off. Why? Because Merck's profits has been doing it. All those years that they made money cheating people, now all of a sudden, their profits have been doing it. SubhanAllah. So now they got to lay off people. The people who are risk rosy are the ones who are axed, not the culprits who are sitting on the top. And that is what Allah is saying. تُدْرُ بِهَا إِلَى الْحُكَّامِ. Hukkama, you know the old word too. Hakim. تُدْرُ بِهَا إِلَى الْحُكَّامِ. Allah is saying, don't use batil money, because the one who's giving bribe and the one who's receiving, both in Naar, Jahannam. That's what a hadith of Rasulullah is saying. الرَّاشِي وَالْمُرْتَشِي كِلَاهُمَا فِي النَّارِ. You, the initiator, you, the one who told the person, hey, take this money, get my job done, you will also be in Naar. Why? Because you initiated. Had you stopped? This is what I always say. If all the Muslim countries in those countries, if all the people in those Muslim countries just stop giving bribes, there's not a single thing that these corrupt, cheating people in our countries can survive. Because you've closed the floodgates. Correct. Everybody, the public, makes an ahd. We will not give a single penny, rupiah, filth, dirham, bribe. That's it. No matter, even if you have to die, that is much better, because I die as a shaheed rather than giving a bribe. If you do that, halt. It's like you built a big hole dam. So now there's no more water. What's going to happen? People are going to dry up. Now they don't have to do the right way. So, aajkal kadki chahiye, paise nahi aa rahe, chalo file pass kar. Rozi to aata hai. Meaning, what I'm saying is that the person will say, today, nowadays, it's dryness. It's very stiff. It's very hard. Let's start doing the work the right way. And that is why, because when the Sahaba asked Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, the one who's taking the bribe, that I understand. Okay, he's a bad person, he's taking, he'll be in punishment and all that. But the one who's giving, what's his? He has no choice.
Rasulullah said, no, he is more of the culprit, because he is the one who initiated. He is the one who presented in the front, and then made it public. So that is why a lot of times I've heard in Muslim countries people say, by rishwat ke ilawa to chaara hi nahi. There is no way out without rishwat, without bribe. You have to do it. If you live, if you want to live in this country, you gotta do this. To get a phone connection, to get an electric connection now, you have to do this. This is part of the game. No. Are you prepared to give answer to Allah? Are you gonna tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day, oh Allah, the phone connection was very emergency in my house. I had to get it. So I had to give that rishwat. Allah is gonna say, you couldn't die without the phone. You would still be alive. Meaning, how are we going to justify in front of Allah for all these bribes and cheating and deception going on in our Muslim countries? And these people don't realize one thing. What? That Akhirah is coming. Qiyamah is coming. And both these people who are giving the bribes, who are doing the cheating, and the one who is receiving, both have to give answer to Allah. And both will have a repercussion, consequences of their amal. How? This hadith really, it scares you so much. Aisha رضي الله عنها, one day she was remembering Qiyamah, you know, Qiyamah and Jahannam, and she began to cry. She, Rasulullah's wife, Aisha bint Abi Bakr رضي الله عنها, she's crying and shivering, scared. Rasulullah comes in and he sees his wife, his beloved, our mother, mother of the believers, like this, and he asks her that, Ya Aisha, oh my beloved Aisha, ماذا يبكيكي? What makes you cry? She said, Ya Rasulullah, I remembered Qiyamah and I remembered Jahannam and I got just shaken up. And then she asked, in that crying, you know how when you cry and you ask someone question how your voice is? She asked in that same style to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, هل يتذكر أهليكم في القيامة? Ya Rasulullah, will you remember your family? Meaning she's really asking about herself. She is her family, his family. So she's asking Rasulullah, the one who brought Quran, the message, the messenger, she's asking him in that Rumariya, in that crying voice, that Ya Rasulullah, will you remember your family members on the day of judgment, Yawm al Qiyamah, in the Maidan al Hashr, Mahshar? Look at that jawab, answer Rasulullah. He said, Ya Aisha tu. And of course he wants to pacify her, he wants to make her not cry that she's crying, remembering. He said to Aisha that, Ya Aisha, fi thalatha mawatin, in three places, in the whole event of Qiyamah and going to Jannah and the decision and all that, fi thalatha mawatin la yuzkaru ahadun ahada. In three places, no one will remember, no one. For those of us learning Arabic, remember, maf'ul bihi is mansub, right? So look at the sentence that he's saying. La, negation, negative. La, yuzkaru. The word here, fa'il is yuzkar. Zakara yuzkar, yuzkar. He's saying, La yuzkaru ahadun, which is the fa'il, ahada, which is the maf'ul bihi. Because fa'il, we said, is marfu', and the maf'ul bihi is Mansub. So marfu means with dhammatain. So what a beautiful, I mean, this is, I'm showing an example of Arabic grammar from the hadith that you're learning, the Arabic language. What did he say? He said, La yuzkaru ahadun ahada fi thalatha mawatin. No one person, none of us, will remember any of other people. You will not remember your wife, you will not remember your husband, you will not remember your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your daughter, your son, you will not remember your own flesh and blood, your son and daughter. You will not remember your wife, your husband, the one you spent so many years with, in spite of all the fighting that you had with each other. But you had the love, and you remembered each other in dunya. But now, in three places in Qiyamah, you will not remember anyone. Meaning, because he said, Ya Aisha, al-amru ashaddu min dhalik, meaning the amr, the affair at that three places, the amr, the issue, the affair at that time is ashaddu min dhalik, is so humongous, so heavy that the brain is burdened. Meaning, no one will complain, oh, you didn't remember me at that time. Meaning, neither the wife will say to the husband, nor the husband will say to the wife, nor the father to the son to the father. No relative is going to say to each other, you didn't remember me at that time, at those three times. Because each one of them was in themselves engrooved. What are those three times? And that is what Allah is saying in this ayah.
that if you remember those three places, the three times where you not remember anyone, you forget about bribing, cheating, scamming, con artists, things like that. You forget about having disloyalty, about deceiving people in business and money and everything. Number one, he said, عند الميزان. When your deeds are being shown in front of you, good deeds on right side, bad deeds left side, you are focusing on the mizan, scale. Just visualize as if there is a big mizan. That bada tarazu, samne, aapke. And the Prophet said that some people will be so scared to see a mizan that they'll see that the mizan is going tilting on the left side, meaning on the bad side. They'll become so, in the kaka, let's go. They'll become so scared in the frenzy. They'll be in a frenzy that spontaneously, in a besakhta, bekhyali mein, wo log jayega, jaag ke khade hokar baith jayenge mizan. Tarazu mein baith jayenge. This is according to the hadith of Rasulullah. He said that the person who is seeing the mizan and he said tilting towards that spontaneously, sporadically, they are so much in a frenzy, anxiety, depression, that they just rush and sit on the good side. Why? To scare it back. Can you imagine? At that time, mota admi, moti aurat kaam aayegi. But that does not mean don't become obese. Because when you sit on the mizan,